We're pretty good. We're pretty good. So do you have any inside info? Is Elliot keeping the beard for the weekend or what?
I really could care less.
I had a feeling you might feel that way, but it's kind of taken over. The Elliot Friedman beard. Quick thought: how have you liked hockey so far?
Well, I think it's been great. I think there's been, been sloppy play. These guys were out for 4 months, but I think there's been some timing issues and some poor passing and all the things you would expect coming out of the gate. But the intensity level of almost all the games has been excellent. The pace has been good. I'm impressed.
Well, Berkey, fans here in Vancouver are getting excited for that series against the Wild. The last time the Canucks played the Wild in the playoffs, that was that 0-3 series, a series that Canucks fans remember well. You were the GM at the time, and they came back to beat your Canucks. How do you remember that series?
Well, remember, we beat St. Louis in the round before that. We were down 3-1 in that series when we came back and won. So we had already done it once. We thought we went up 3-1 with Minnesota. There's no way that he could come back. And we got spanked in one of the games. I think it was game 5 or 6. We got spanked. And the lopsided score. And I remember talking to Mark Crawford saying, this is more serious than we thought it was. We're going to run out of runway here. But I think that was one of our best chances to make a run, and we didn't take advantage of it.
Well, one of the stories that come out at that time was Bert's quote, walking by the ticket booth there in Minnesota and told fans that they wouldn't need their Game 6 tickets. How did you feel about Bert doing that at that time?
Well, I mean, it got with social media, right, it got publicized right away. So you'd rather not have blackboard material, but that was Bert, and he was playing so well, and we were playing so well in that series. I was pretty confident, too. So I think it's something you'd prefer not to say, because you recall in Game 6 there's a picture of Todd being checked into the glass and a fan with a big sign that said, "Welcome to Game 6, Todd." So, yeah, I would prefer he didn't say it, but it's kind of – he had some bravado to his game back then, and it wasn't all bad, right?
No, it wasn't. And you look back now, and there's a lot of good memories from that era of the Canucks, for sure. But right now, the focus is on Jake Virtanen, and here, as you can imagine, Berkey, this morning, were you surprised to see him sitting in the press box last night?
No, and I think a couple things that I would say, and I said this mostly on TV last night. First off, Jake Virtanen is a good hockey player. He had, 18 goals this year? That's pretty respectable in a shortened season. He's a big kid who can skate, and he's physical when he wants to be physical. And he's a guy that will play a part in these playoffs at some point. Like, the fact that he might not dress for game one doesn't mean he's not going to dress for game 2 or 3 or 4. So that's number one. But I think what the coaches are betting on, and fans in Vancouver had better remember this, is what Michael Ferlin, the X factor he can be in a playoff series. I mean, he terrorized Kevin Bieksa. And I think he was a big factor in us. I was with Calgary at the time, winning that series. So I think the coaches, the betting is, okay, Jake's a good kid. He's had a good year. Going to a bar right during phase 3 wasn't very smart, but that's okay. But if we play Jake, we're going to get this level of performance, and which is fine. But if we play Michael Ferland and he can get that magic back from a couple of years ago, it could change the series. And I think that's the bet. I don't think it's an indictment of Jake as much as, guys, we gotta see if we can get Ferland to take us to another level. And I don't think it would be fair to play Michael Ferland last night for the first game he's played since, October, aside from an attempt to play in Utica. I don't think it's fair to give him that one game and then say, okay, that wasn't enough. We're gonna go back to Jake. So I think it's more trying to find a weapon than making a judgment about Jake Virtanen.
Well, Berkey, that point there, that, and we've had some reactions saying, this is trying to send a message to Jake Virtanen. For this one exhibition game, is this the time to send messages, or is this for real now, where you want the best player in the lineup?
This is for real. I mean, I know why you have to ask the question, but it's, to me, it's a silly question. And again, I know why you have to ask it, because people are wondering, but you can't be sending messages now. They're in a best of five. It's not just the best of seven. It's not just that you have to come out of the gate with the gas pedal right on the floor. You are the consequences in a best of five. If you're not ready and you don't dress your best lineup and you go in with a casual approach, you're going to be out of the bubble real fast. Like, these series are all best of five. They all last 9 days, and then eight teams are going home. Eight teams are out of there in 9 days. So, yeah, you're going to dress your best lineup, and you had better be ready to go.
Brian Burke, our guest. He is a presentation of Andrew Sherritt Limited. We're watching Olli Juolevi here, and he's just getting his feet wet. Of course, he's had a lot of injuries. You were with Calgary at the time, and, of course, the Canucks draft fifth. They take Juolevi. You and Brad Treliving take Matthew Tkachuk a pick later. What were your thoughts on Juolevi at the draft, and how did you like his game last night?
Well, at the draft, we loved him. But, like, we had Juolevi and Matthew Tkachuk side by side, like almost dead heat. We felt at the time we needed you don't draft by position, but if you do, if you think two players are dead even, you might want certain qualities that other player brings. But we loved Juolevi his draft year. He was fantastic. When you went to watch his team play when he was playing in London, you couldn't help but notice Juolevi right from the start, because he played like a 24-year-old in a junior league. He was mature. He was calm. His passes were perfect. If he had no passing option, he'd lug it out. He was fantastic. I am not surprised at all that he played as well as he did last night. I thought he was really good. They said his camp has been great. This is a guy, defensemen sometimes take longer to figure it out because it's a harder position to play. This is a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if he became an all-star. And I'm not making this up. That's how good he was in junior.
Yeah, and that's why it's exciting to see him, you know, get through the injuries and play like he has through this camp and see that last night. What would your concern be, giving Juolevi his first real NHL game in these qualifiers or maybe in a Stanley Cup playoff game later on?
Well, it's like Edmonton's bringing the young Broberg kid along. The concern is that it's a gamble with really high stakes. You're betting that he can adapt to play at that high pressure level immediately. And if you're wrong and it costs you a game, that could be it. Like, you know, if you're expected to win game one in a best of five and you lose game one, man, all hell breaks loose. So I think the stakes are very high to put an untested, untried kid in that situation if you're healthy. Like, I don't know what the rest of the Canucks defensemen are, what kind of state they're healthy in. They're healthy enough to play, but that doesn't mean they're not nursing things. So to me, you put a young defenseman in without much experience, yes, it could work, but the stakes, if you're wrong, are very high.
You're listening to Reach Deep in the Morning. We're joined by Brian Burke. Brian, you know, we look at that Minnesota versus Canucks series, and there's some people that say that Canucks have the advantage in the top six, but if you look at that back end, Suter and Spurgeon are a pretty dominant pairing. Do you think that defense, and specifically that pairing, have the ability to take over a series?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of amused by the coverage. I just said this on a different show. The Canadian markets that cover their team, they all assume that they're going to advance. Like the Vancouver media are like, oh, we'll get through Minnesota. Then who do we play? Same thing in Toronto. They're like, well, who do we play after Columbus? And I'm like, Winnipeg, Calgary is different, but it's the same in Edmonton. They're like, oh, they'll take out Chicago. There's no problem there. I think Minnesota is going to be a big problem for Vancouver. I think Vancouver can win the series. I'm not saying, and I don't do predictions, by the way. But I think, I just said this on another show. They had a list come out last week of the top 20 defensemen in the NHL. And Ryan Suter was not on that list. And I'm like, he's in my top 10. I think he's one of the most underrated defensemen in the league. No one ever talks about him. They're an older team. They're a heavy team, even though they're not black and blue team. They're a big body team. And I think they're going to give Vancouver more than they dreamed they could handle. Like, this has potential for an upset in Vancouver. People think it's an upset. I believe Minnesota made the playoffs six straight years before last year. Like, this is a quality veteran team, and they're not going to be intimidated by no fans in the building. They're not going to be intimidated by best of five. Their goaltending is a little bit of a question, but I think Stalock will be the guy they go with. And, yeah, I think this is going to be a great series. I don't think this is the walkover that some fans in Vancouver expect.
Yeah, and as, you know, Suter's going to play more. Like, he's going to play 30 minutes a night. You know, they're going to eat up half the game, him and Spurgeon are. And, you know, up front, you know, we tend to overlook players that have aged into their mid-30s. But fact is, you know, Eric Staal can still get it done. And we've seen Zach Parise had a pretty good year. And these guys are as fresh going into a playoff series as we've seen them in years.
Yeah, and Fiala changed their whole team.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, everyone says, oh, they don't have a Pettersson, or they don't have a JT Miller, they don't have a Besser, they don't have a game breaker like that. Yeah, they do. They most certainly do. He's been lethal the last, you know, 20 games before the pause. So this is not – the people who are looking ahead to Vancouver's next opponent might want to wait a little bit.
You're listening to Reach Deep in the Morning. We're joined by Brian Burke. Brian, you've said it many times before. This year is a Martian landscape. We've never seen this format for the playoffs before. We have no idea what's going to happen. We can make all the predictions we want. We know they're not relying on anything these days. So how do you think teams will assess players and coaches after these playoffs? Is it going to be as usual, a status quo, or is this completely different this year?
Well, it depends on the ownership group. I would like to tell you that it should be an aberration. Like, no one should be judged on the basis of the results this year, in my opinion. But I think they're going to be. I think that there's a lot of teams. See, here's the problem. You've got a lot of new owners that have owned the team for, you know, eight years or less, say, pick an arbitrary number. And the owners who own the teams for more than 8 years, I was in the room, either representing a team or representing the league. Every time there's an expansion vote, these guys shot their hands into the air. They dislocated their shoulders, raising their hand to vote for expansion and take the money, not realizing that now their odds are winning a cup every 32 years once Seattle comes in. So it's daunting mathematics now, and ownership's expectations have not adjusted to the daunting mathematics. And to me, I think it's a shame. I think there's way too much turnover at the GM and coach level in the NHL, and I think it's been exacerbated by a whole bunch of new owners who don't have a clue what they're doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how teams react to what happens especially in the Stanley Cup qualifying rounds over the next couple of weeks. Berkey, really appreciate it, man. Enjoy.
Thanks, guys.